Track 8. And now we come to letters to the editor. There are four letters this week. The fourth letter is from Councillor Bullivant, and it's a very long letter, so I will be editing it at the end. And we start with, change is rarely easy. Councillor Colin Parker, District and Town Councillor, Buckland and Milburn, Newton Abbott, writes, in my time as a councillor in Newton Abbott, almost 17 years, I have been the mayor and the chairman of TDC. I'm on almost every committee for both the town and district council, currently being chairman of perhaps two of the main committees on each of these councils, finance and planning, respectively. This, I think, means I have a certain grasp of our town's needs. All who know me should agree that I have always urged other councillors, council officers, respected community leaders, in fact everyone, to work together, talk to each other, give one's opinion, but never seemingly promote conflict or hostility. It is most disappointing, and that is putting it mildly, that in recent times any proposal, idea, project, intended improvements have ended up with divisions between those who come up with concept proposals and those who have opposing views. Also, in my opinion, personal criticism should not come into anything that is proposed and intended for the public good. I also believe that the evenness in which opinions and facts are shared is critical to informed decision making. The earlier involvement of the public and stakeholders in any suggested improvement would certainly make disagreements less likely, which may prevent the I told you so scenario. Waves and friction are caused by complaining about something not to one's liking when it has already been put into action, which could have been avoided somewhat by earlier communications and greater participation in consultation. Change is rarely easy, and you can never please everyone. Our town needs new investment and some TLC. Without it, we may be on the path of ever-decreasing decline. Adaptation to new economic and social patterns must happen. Some keep referring to the good old days and do not wish to see any change. This, of course, is not remotely possible, and why would we want to step back? We should believe that our town can adapt to the ever-changing society we found ourselves in and grow into an even more attractive and welcoming place. With the above in mind, I believe we should have partnership meetings between representatives of various sectors within our town to express opinions and ideas. That is why I have been a real promoter of the discussions referred to recently by Councillor Wrigley, the TDS leader, and already planned. I urge all attendees to go into these discussions with a willingness to share and compromise and show our readiness to accept the assistance we have been promised.
Tynmouth community larder families are dreading winter. Jackie Jackson, Secretary of Newton Abbott Constituency Labour Party, writes, my husband Roger and I are the organisers of the Tynmouth Community Larder, a food bank which we started in 2020 during the pandemic. It is run, usually, as a self-referral charity organisation built on trust. We explain that those asking us for help can trust us to provide it, if we can trust them to tell us when they don't need us anymore. This arrangement works well, and we hope it gives some dignity to those who are feeling down about needing charity and help. I keep in touch weekly and know what is happening in their lives, what makes it so difficult, and whether their financial challenges are getting worse or better. We provide a bare weekly pack of tinned meals, vegetables, fruit, eggs, pasta or rice, milk, tea and bread. No frozen or chilled food. Sometimes we can add biscuits and sometimes toiletries. It's not a diet you would choose if you didn't need help. It's certainly not luxury. We also work closely with other organisations that can give financial and other advice. When you get to read this, we will be looking ahead to December traditions, the Christmas holidays fun. For most people, it's a bit stressful, but nevertheless a time of family meetings, holidays and breaks from work, fun, laughter, good eating and drinking. Our larder families are dreading the winter and Christmas. Already many of them are stretched to the limit, and some have fallen into debt because of higher utility bills, rising rent and mortgage costs. Many are working, but it is no longer enough. Food and other household bills are up. Income is not. If you fall into debt, it gets worse and worse, because then you are having to fund a debt repayment on top of not being able to manage everything before. From the larder's point of view, we understand this, and we are finding it more difficult to fund our food bank than ever. A tin that cost £1.80 last winter is now around £2.40 and sometimes even more. All food is more expensive and our food bill is growing because of that, as well as because we have more people. I note that the new Marks & Spencer Emotional Christmas ad makes the point that we should only do, buy or take part in the things we want and not be pushed into loads of spending and fake tradition thrown at us by advertising. Love is supposedly all you need, but it is hard to get away from the commerciality and persuasiveness of modern life. My concern is that, added to financial difficulties, debt, lost jobs, disability or illness, sometimes people don't have much love available to them. Our lovely volunteers, many of them local Labour members, are gearing up to make up packs with Christmas food and extras in it. Last year, some of our larder families told us that our packs made the difference between feeling worry and depression and being able to enjoy Christmas. If you feel you could help by donating or by volunteering, please ring me on 07917 428 680.
Sigh of relief for rail travellers. Mike Pulliston of Newton Abbott writes, "The government announcement from Transport Secretary Mark Harper on October the 31st has come as a huge sigh of relief to many rail travellers like myself, and of course rail staff. But I was not unduly surprised or shocked by the blatant U-turn. I say this because since the initial proposal to close all of the 1,007 ticket offices nationally, I spent time talking with fellow rail passengers and many rail staff in Devon, and it was obvious that the offices were a key component of what the government calls passenger welfare. As most will know, of the over 750,000 respondents in the public consultation, 99% objected to the proposals, which were clearly based on cost-cutting, not on passenger needs, as an attempt by the government to reduce rail subsidies. The whole exercise was cynical from the start, including trying to rush the consultation through in a month, which was deemed illegal, to keeping staff poorly informed, and indeed misinformed. The whole platform staff idea was not about selling tickets on platforms, it was about advising the public on how to buy tickets online, as if it was ever going to work anyway on crowded platforms. I suspect, however, despite the U-turn, the rail companies will now continue to downgrade ticket offices in various ways so that they can return to mount another proposal to close offices at some point. It's clear to me as a regular rail user at Newton Abbott Station that the ticket office provides a vital service in terms of support, assurance and advice to many passenger groups. I would like to thank the Mid-Devon Advertiser for running recent stories on our local ticket offices and to the dedicated ticket office staff at Newton Abbott and elsewhere locally who have always been very professional and helpful and will continue to do so, I'm sure. I must make it clear that I have no connection to the railway industry other than being a regular passenger."
And the next letter is from Councillor Phil Bullivan. It is a very long letter, so I've just preceded it a little bit. "In a long and detailed letter, Councillor Bullivan expresses grave concern at the failure of Teignbridge District Council to implement the plan agreed under the Future High Street scheme, which was to be funded by government grant. The scheme would have improved the appearance and prospects for the town centre, and he says that opportunity has now been lost. Despite extensive consultation in drawing up the plan, he says that the council executive has given in to opposition following later consultation on the details. The details were drawn up having regard to specialist input from experts, particularly regarding the cinema and market hall. The town centre needs revitalising to improve its appearance and commercial prospects. Now he believes that the grant will need to be repaid." And that concludes letters to the editor.